How do we prep ourselves for church? How do we come to church? Are we prepared? Or is it just one of those little things that we just tick off? Okay, quickly, we must gonna go, you know? I know that when we normally pray for church, I'm telling you, all hell breaks loose already on a Saturday. And on Sundays, we've now learned that if things just don't go right, just center myself, we don't look at each other, we don't talk to each other, we just come to church. And we pray in the car. That's what we do. Because the devil wants to upset. He really wants to upset your soul. He really wants to upset your soul because God's given you a spirit. And when God communicates to your spirit, he also then communicates to your soul. So what is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And that is how you then connect with God. That's how you feel. And then, of course, when you start feeling that power running through your soul, what do you start doing is that your feet just can't stop moving. You just start dancing, and your hands start clapping, and your mouth starts worshiping him and giving him thanks and praising him. Amen? That's what happens. So if we come to church and the way we prepare, and I just want to say this to you. You know, every time when we speak church, 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 what do we think? Is we always think that it's a Sunday thing. It's not always a Sunday thing. Yes, Paul writes to us. He says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Friends, I want to say to you that there is a great blessing in us coming together. There is a great blessing. Because what do? Is we come and celebrate as a congregation, collectively, the goodness of God. And we share testimonies with one another. And we see that, hey, I'm not the only one in this little island. But there are many others. And if I find myself on an island that says depression, and I know that Johnny suffered with depression, and he stands up and he comes forward and he says, man, you know what? God set me free from depression. And everybody goes, wow, amen, hallelujah. Then, of course, I think, wow, well, if God could do that for him, he can do it for me too. I'm telling you, there's such a blessing in church. There's such a blessing when we come together as a congregation. But church is not only on a Sunday. Church is from a Monday to a Sunday. The church is you and me. We are the living stones of Christ. So therefore, when we go to work, we need to be prepared. When we go to somebody's house, we need to be prepared. I know Robert loves braying. And have you ever thought of this? Okay, Lord, I'm going to JJ's house and I'm going to go and pray now. I'm going to go and prepare myself because, God, I know that you are not sending me just to go and braai and have a lack of steak. Lord, you're sending me there for a purpose. I need to be prepared. When I go to a Henny's house, I need to know, or I must know that when I go there, that God wants to do something. And if God doesn't want to do something, then we know that God is doing something just because we are there. Because there's a blessing in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. When you go to a home cell gathering, you need to be prepared. Not only the leader needs to be prepared or the cell leader, but you and me, we also need to be prepared before we go. We need to be prayed up. We need to say to the Lord, Lord, what do you want to accomplish in this evening? I'm going. And within my cell group, there is Rocco and there's Sheldon and there's Yarpie and there's Helmut and there's Dale. Father, I know that you want to speak to them. Use me this evening. Use me this evening. Amen? And this is what we need to do, is we need to be prepared. So when we come to a church service, when we come into a service like this, we need to be prepared. And I love this. As I was praying upstairs, and it sounds like it's all holy that I had an upper room experience. It's literally upstairs, okay? I wasn't in heaven. It's literally upstairs. As I was praying upstairs, and as I was just preparing my heart and just saying, God, what do you want to say? I just saw these waves of glory coming over us. And then I just saw the word, preparation. Now, in that, God is speaking to me as well, and he's speaking to you as well. He's speaking to all of us. In preparation, when we come to a church service, we need to be up early. We need to pray. We mustn't just get up, get dressed, eat, brush teeth, and go and say to the kids, come, let's go. And then you climb in the car and you get here and it's like, oh, how's it? Yeah, great. And everybody greets each other and, yeah, how are you? Great. Everybody has got a great time. And then as soon as we then sit down, it's like, all right, let's pray. Let's consecrate the time unto God and let's go into worship. Not one place, not in one area have you just sat down, quietened down your spirit and said, yeah, here I am, Lord. It's not about me, it's about you. It's not about us this morning. It is all for Him on a Sunday morning. And when we give Him honor, and when we praise Him, and when we come prepared to church, when our hearts are in line, and when our ears want to hear, when our spirits are intact, when we give Him all the honor and all the glory, and when we give Him all the thanks, guess what God does? God releases His tangible presence. And we don't need to ask for anything. Healing just happens. Restoration just happens. Depression leaves. Oppression leaves. Why? Because the focus is on Him. Why? Because you have prepared your heart to come and stand before Him and give Him honor and glory. Amen? So now you're going to say to me, Jaja, where do we see this? Through Scripture. Well, let's first go to the Old Testament. And we're going to look at what the priests did. And I'm going to work it right through to the from the Old Testament into the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we see that God appointed Levitical priests. He appointed priests to do sacrifices, and then He appointed one specific priest to go behind the veil and to go and do the blood sprinkling so that the sins would be atoned. Amen? And normally what happened is, you can go look in the book of Leviticus, you will see this guy, or this priest, he needed to go through a specific cleansing ritual. He had to cleanse himself in a specific way before he went behind the veil. And what makes it even more interesting, I'm glad I never had the job, what makes it even more interesting is that he had a specific robe with little bells on. And then they tied a piece of rope around his waist. So when he went in, you heard this, ding, 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 and he went about what he had to do, the ritual. And you heard ding, 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 and then as soon as you heard that ding, 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 and it stopped, then your heart sank into your toes. Not the priest, the guy who's holding the rope on the other side. Because now you are actually listening. Is this guy dead or not? And if he didn't hear those bells going ding, 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 what he had to do is they had to then pull him out of this most holy of holies. They just couldn't run in there because then they would also be struck dead by God. Why? Because He's holy. He's a holy God. And there's a specific way of how these priests had to prepare themselves to come into the presence of the great King. So if the preparation was great, if the preparation was good, they lived to see another day. If it wasn't, they just quickly appointed a new one. And I don't think there were a lot of people that would put up their hand and go, choose me. I'm the one. But in any case, so this is what we see, that there was preparation. Then we go to Esther. Who knows Esther? The book of Esther. An amazing story of a woman who God uses to save the nation of Israel. So what does Esther do? Esther understands that she is in a battle for her, for kinsmen. She's in battle for her family, for Israel, because they're going to be wiped out, or they want to be wiped out. And what does she do? She goes and she prepares herself to this king. Yes, like, and his name is Ahasuerus. Is that correct? Are there a couple of what's that? Ernst? Ahasuerus. Okay, well, there's no T there, but let's go for that one. For Ahasuerus. Okay, let's go for that. But what do we see is we see this. we see that she takes time. She takes time to prepare herself. She goes and she bathes herself in oils, and she puts all sorts of wonderful smelling aromas and oils on her, so that she will look presentable and that she will smell nice for the king. And then she took a huge chance. She took an amazing huge chance. Not amazing. She took a huge chance. What chance was this? We need to understand something of the day is when the king did not summons you into his court, if he didn't say, Marna, come and stand in front of me right away, and you just walked up and you appeared before him, if that king was in a bad mood, he would look at Marna and say, I never called you here. Whick, off with your head. You're going to die. But if he felt that it was all right and I'm going to be merciful to her, then he said, okay, you may approach. What would you like? So Esther was taking a huge risk. But she knew that if she looked and if she presented and if she smelt wonderful before the king, there might be just this one chance that he would say, you may approach. She was willing to get her head chopped off to set a nation free. So you all know that Esther walks into the court of this king. And what does he do? He looks at her. He smells her. He sees her lush, beautiful red lips, the softness of her skin, the silky glaze of her hair, and he smells the aroma of gushy spray. And he tells him, come in. What do you want me to do for you? And what do we see? Is we see that the evil plans of the people who wanted her nation dead worked actually against themselves. And we see that God, because of Esther preparing herself to come before this king, saves a nation by the name of Israel. Amen? Then we see Christ. Then we see Jesus. Jesus coming to the earth, and Jesus had to prepare himself mentally and physically to go through which he had to go through. We see this throughout his life, and it started gathering up more speed from the age of 30 to 33. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, but JJ, all these things are all Old Testament, and so how does it now fit in with us? Well, Scripture is quite clear. Scripture tells you and me that it is because of Christ that you and me have become a royal priesthood. You and me are a royal priesthood. We were once in darkness, but now we are in light. So therefore, if you and me, if we are a royal priesthood, that means because of the blood of Christ that has justified us, that has pronounced us righteous, that means that through the blood of Christ, we can come boldly into the presence of the Most High God. So there's no more veil. There's no more veil. But how do we get to the king? How do we stand before the king? Who gives us this permission? We all know that it is Christ, but I want us to just to turn to Romans 8. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 9. Romans 8, verse 1 to verse 9. And it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk accordingly to the flesh, but accordingly to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he, Jesus, condemned sin in the flesh,
that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk accordingly to the flesh, but accordingly to the Spirit. For those who live accordingly to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live accordingly to the Spirit set their things on the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. We need to understand that throughout all of creation and throughout all of time, God wants to come and dwell with us. God wants to abode within you and within me. We see a God that sits in the heavens. Then we see a God going to Sinai, sitting on a mountain. Then God gives his commands to Moses, and he says to them, choose life or choose death. Why does he do that? Because it's quite simple. He says to them, I want to come and make my abode. I want to come and dwell among you. So he gives the commandments, and Israel goes, okay, God, we want to go into covenant with you. So as we go into covenant with you, please come off the mountain, as you have said, and come and make your habitation among us. Not in us, among us. And so God did that with the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. Then we see that for a long time, I think it's about 450 or 480 years, God is silent. And then we see suddenly Jesus coming, a blueprint reappearing. Jesus coming down from heaven, leaving his throne, coming down to earth, walking as a man for 33 years, then being crucified, breaking the power of sin, raised up on the third day, and then ascending into heaven. Then we see another blueprint coming. And we see then the Holy Spirit, as Jesus goes, just before he goes, he says, for my Father in heaven will send you an helper. You will not be alone. And then he says to you, and then he says to them, for you will do far greater things than what I have done. So we see the Holy Spirit then coming down. Do you see the pattern? Then the Holy Spirit comes down. And as the Spirit stands before you, before me, before we are reborn in Christ, he circumcises the heart. We believe with our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Christ is Lord and Savior. And then God accomplishes that, what he always intended to do from the time that he walked with Adam. Adam and God walked in perfect unity. But because of sin, his spirit died. So therefore, when the Holy Spirit dwells within you and me and we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our spirits are reconnected to God. And we see this in Corinthians where it says, now that you've got the Spirit dwelling within you, you have got the mindset of Christ. There's also an area in Scripture where it says, if the same Spirit dwells within you that raised Christ from the dead, it is by that Spirit that bears witness with my spirit that I have a Father in heaven by which I can call him Abba. So God always wants us to be drawn in towards him because he has prepared the way. Now, as he has prepared the way, if we look in Romans 8 from verse 5, it says, from verse 4, it says, let's rather start from verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. You see, what God wanted, the reason why God used the high priests is because you and me were still in sin, and he used somebody else to go and atone your sins. And the reason why he sent Christ is when he looked down at mankind, he understood that mankind in sinful flesh would never be able to do or will never be able to accomplish the righteous requirement that he requires of spending or abiding or making his dwelling place around us or in us. And this is the reason why he then sent Jesus. And this is why verse 3 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Did you hear that? You see, God sent Christ Jesus so that he will fulfill the righteous requirement. So that when we receive Christ, so that through Christ and in Christ, we, his people, will now be able to fulfill the righteous requirement of what God expects of us. Amen. Do you understand this? It is in Christ that we can fulfill everything that God requires of us. Now hear this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Friends, I want to say this to you this morning. Is that when we come to God, when we come to a church, when we come and worship and when we come and praise God on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, or whenever we've got interaction with each other, the reason why we say that we need to be prepared is because we cannot enter the throne room of God lightheartedly. Jacinta is going to preach on this in a couple of weeks from now. Whereas we have become familiar with God. We think that God is our friend. We hear many a time that we speak of God being the old man upstairs. We don't have a reverence and we don't have an awe for him anymore. We come here to church like, okay, let's just go to church. Or when we wake up in the morning, it's like our faces drop. And it's like, oh, 9 o'clock. Or it's like 8 o'clock. When we have to go to a home cell, there's certain things where we need to come to prayer and intercession. There are certain things, there's certain remarks that we make. We're never on time. We never do things right when it comes down to the things of God. But when we need to go to a rugby match, or when we need to do certain things, or you need to go to work and when I need to go to work, man, I'm telling you, we are there on time. And we do the things and everything's sorted out. And at the end of the month, when our statements come and we need to get our invoices and we need to do all these things, what do? Everything is in check. But one thing that is not in check is our spiritual lives. And we are all, hear me, I'm not saying you, I'm saying we. We are all falling short of this. We have become familiar with God. We have become familiar with His presence. We come to church and we just think, okay, well, great stuff. We walk into a church building and we look at the amount of people that are sitting here and we're going, oh my good golly, just look at the amount of people that there are. Why is there so little people? The reason why there are so little people, friends, is because God has grown dumb in our hearts. That's why. God isn't God. We have replaced God with an idol. We have replaced God with family. We have replaced God with work. We have replaced God with all sorts of other things. But we do not esteem Him as God, as King. All other things come second. All other things come second. Jacinta and myself, we've got this conversation quite a lot. We're saying, geez, those are the kids, our kids, our kids, our kids, our kids. Yes, do you know what? Our kids are giving much up for the calling that God has given us. Our kids are giving a lot up. But that doesn't say that we do not come to church. It doesn't say that, we don't do the things that we are called to do. We do it. Why? Because we know the more we show them, the more we replicate that what God has for us, I know that they will walk into it. And that they won't have problems one day. And that they won't battle the things that we went through, but they can see that God's goodness is upon us. Why? Because we prepared ourselves. You see, when we come to Christ on a church service, or when we come to Christ on a Wednesday evening, we need to understand one thing, friends, is that we can't just walk into it and go, yo, how's it, God? I'm here. You know what? The man with all the hour, with all the power, and I'm the man of the hour, and whatever, you know, the sayings are. I'm the man. Here I am. I'm closing my eyes. Now you better listen to me when I speak to you, because I'm going through a hard time here, God. My business is falling. My marriage is falling apart. Oh, my kids are rebellious. Where are you? Why don't you answer my prayers? You know what? God's standing down and he says, well, you know what? You never prepare. You never seek me. I'm not a genie in a bottle. I'm not there. I'm the commander of the army. Not you. I am the commander. You need to humble yourselves before me. When you come into my courts, make sure that you present yourself. When you come before me, make sure, yes, you come through Christ. You come through my Son. You come through the blood of Jesus. Yes, I agree. But you can't come to me with arrogance. You need to come before me with awe and with reverence. Do you know who you're speaking to? Do you know that I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? This is what we all do. We are very quickly to press on a button and saying, God, where are you? Oh, he doesn't love me. But may I just ask you this question, as I've asked myself this question many a time. Am I doing what I need to do? Am I doing what I need to do? You know that there's a portion of scripture that says, if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. God has moved the heavens and the earth. He has moved all things so that he can come and live within you. It cost him much. So now that we can come boldly into the presence of the mighty one, the one who has called all things into being. If we look at the old scriptures and if we look how Christ prepared himself, do you not think that we need to prepare ourselves as well? Do you not think that there's an awe and a reverence, that there's a fear of God that we as a church have lost? And I'm not saying us as a church. Yes, us as well. But what I'm saying is, I'm saying the body of Jesus, we've lost it. And this morning, these words might penetrate. This morning, these words might hurt. This morning, these hurts might bring life. But I think for us as a church, for where we are, and how God has brought us through everything to where we are, we need to be prepared. When we walk through those doors, when we walk through our cell church doors, when we come to our intercession, we need to be prepared. The greatest time that I have when I go to Karin or to Kobus and them for intercession is when I am praying in the car and I'm giving it stick and I'm saying, your will be done. And I worship and I say, yes, Lord, because by the time I'm there, I am in this mood. I'm in this mode. I'm not in first gear. I'm not in second gear. I'm in fifth gear. And I'm on the open road. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, yes, Lord. And you know what's even better is that you hear
that you hear that small, still spoken voice. Why? Because I've prepared myself. But if we do not prepare ourselves as a church, do you know that we do not have anything to give Him? You've got absolutely nothing to give God. Why? Because we have not been in the Word, and if you are not in the Word, you do not give the Spirit the platform to put words of adoration, of thanksgiving, and of praise, and of worship upon your tongue. JJ, you can't say this. Oh, yes, I can say that. Because suddenly, sometimes when you stand in church and you worship or when you pray, you go, oh, you know what? I'm like just repeating these things, man. It's like stale. There's no growth. There's no nothing. It's just nothing new there. Who's had those experiences? You can put up your hand. Why? Because we're not preparing. It's because we're not looking beyond our circumstance. We're not preparing. We've lost the awe. We've lost the fear of God. The word says, for the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. That's what it is. So through Romans 18, what do we see? We see that it is in Christ that we can come boldly before the King of Kings or before God the Father. It is in Christ and through Christ. That doesn't mean, church, that we can, the word boldly there means boldly, but it doesn't mean that we can just come turn, 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 and here we go. All right, God, here we are. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that we need to prepare ourselves. We need to check ourselves. We need to check our hearts. We need to see who we have forgiven, who we not have forgiven. We need to see if there's sin in our lives, which we need to repent of. That's what we need to do. Doesn't the word say, listen, Mary, if you've got something wrong with anybody within the church or if you've got somebody in your family, don't come to the altar. Don't come and bring thanks. But first go to them or go to her and go and sort yourself out. Make peace with your people before you come to me. Amen? We need to be prepared. We need to be prepared, church. And I'm not saying that we need to have words. Wait, I'm going to speak again scripture now because the word says when you get together, we need to have songs and hymns because that means that you prepare yourself. That means that you need to be prepared. And it doesn't always mean that God will only just download something upon you. And if God doesn't give anything to you, Edward, it doesn't mean that He doesn't love you. He's just checking your heart. And then God will start using people. And then you will say, well, God, why aren't you using me? And it's not about why aren't you using Edward, Lord. It's not about that. God is looking, can I trust Him with little? Can I trust Him with preparing His heart day in and day out? Yet I do not give anything to Him. But the day when I'm going to give Him a download, He's going to go, oh, wow, okay. You see, the word says, if I can entrust you with a little, I can entrust you with much. These are the small little things that God is busy speaking to us. So I want to challenge us as a church, because God's challenging me. Whenever we have a meeting in your marketplace, pray. You know why David was such an esteemed man before God? I'm just reading through the book of Samuel and through the book of Kings, and God is just highlighting so many things to me again. He prayed about everything. He prepared his heart before God and said, God, do you think we need to go and battle? Yeah, no, great, okay. God, do you think we need to do this? No, great. God, do you think we need to do this? No, great. Must we do this? Yes. God, must I go get the covenant? Yes. So they go, and they go, ach, not the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, and they go and fetch it. And when he brings it back into Jerusalem, what happens? They start dancing and they start worshiping. Why? Because they were prepared. They prepare themselves. So can I challenge us? In our marketplace, let's pray. Let's say, God, what do you want to do here? When we go to a home cell, pray. Say, Lord, what do you want to do here? When we come to a church service, Trust me, the anointing is not only upon me, it's upon us collectively. Then you say, God, what do you want to do here? But before you get to those prayers, guess what you need to do? You need to come before me and you need to humble yourself before him. And you need to say, God, you are the king of my life. And Father, I come before you and I say, Father, forgive me my sin. I repent. I repent. And then you pray for the church service and you pray. And you say, Lord, may your kingdom come and may your will be done. And you pray. You say, Father, may the gifts of your spirit flow. May there be words of edification. May there be words of exhortation. But Father, the greatest thing, may our words edify you. And may you receive the glory and the honor and the praise. You see, when you prep yourself throughout the week in that way, you will have words of edification. You will come and you will prophesy unto God. And you will give him glory. Why? Because you've spent time in the word. You've prayed, you've sought his face, you've heard from heaven, and you will be able to contribute, and you will be able to give God praise. And then it won't be a dead church. Then it won't be a church where people walk into and say, oh, good golly, look at the amount of people, because now your eyes are not upon the people, your eyes are upon Christ. Your eyes are upon what the Spirit is going to do. That's what it's about, church. That is what it's about. And guess what? When we prep ourselves, we want to come to church. We look past the other things. We look past all sorts of stuff. We look past family. We look past beaches. And we look past the mountain and cycling and jogging and we look past those things. And we say, Jesus, you are first in my life. And therefore, I will put you first because I have prepared myself to come and give you honor and glory. And whatever comes after that, and I will just enjoy it with you. So this morning, what I want us to do. Does this make sense? What I want us to do now is I want us to stand up. Now we're going to worship. And I want us to prep our hearts. And the worship band can come forward. Friends, and I want us to prep our hearts. I want us to close our eyes. Well, let me, before we get there, let me just say this. How do we prepare ourselves for Sunday services or for any service or for any encounter that we have? How do we prepare? Firstly, the fear of God needs to return back to you and to me. The awe and the reverence of who he is needs to return. Secondly, we need to spend time in his word. Because if you want to know who Jesus is, you'll find it out in Scripture. You can pray as much as you want to, you're not going to find out. You can pray as much as you want to. You will not find out who Jesus is. If you want to know the heart, the love, the mercy, the grace that he has for you and for me, that means that we need to become lovers of the word. We need to eat the scrolls. We need to eat the word of God. That means that we need to have a quiet time, that you need to give time to God out of your busy schedule. One thing I can say to you is when I came to Shofar, I promise you, I've never been so busy in my life with admin. And my quiet time with God started taking a knock because I was too busy. I had to do. Because if I didn't catch up with it, then I had to do it tomorrow. And not only just that, I also had to come and visit you guys. And not only that, there were also other things that we had to do as a family. And trust me, the same pressures that you have, we have as well. There are times that we work, Jacinta and myself, we work until 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night. Our working days for the last year has been from a Monday to a Sunday. We have had one weekend off, and that is when we went to George, and that Sunday I ministered there. But I love ministry.
we face the same pressures. We also face the same financial issues and pressures like you do. To be in ministry, finances is not about the ministry. It's because of the love of Christ and the love that we have for the people of God. That's why we give it up. We're also tired, friends. But you know what? We're diligent in the things that we need to do. We prep ourselves. We prep our hearts. So if we can do it, you can do it. Why? Because the same grace, the same power of grace is upon you. You can do it. The question is, do you want to do it? Because the same thing is what it says within the scriptures. It says, for if your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, you will have life and peace and joy. But if your heart and if your mind is set on your flesh and the things that you want to do, instead of the things that God is calling you to do, the things that God is saying to you, this needs to take number one within your life, you will have death. You will not have peace. So I think as we stand here, I think we all face exactly the same trials and tribulations from Monday to Sunday, from Sunday to Monday. But you know what? We persevere. There's a man by the name of Paul. He goes through so many things that you and me will never, ever, ever endure. He went through being stoned 3 times. He goes through whippings. He goes through hungers. He goes through fasting. He's naked. He's thrown into jail for that, what he believes in, for the gospel's sake. Who of us have yet gone through that? But yet, we do not prepare ourselves. But yet, we complain. Then this man comes and stands before God, and he says to God, God, for us, it must be the devil that is afflicting me. I am tired. Take it away from me. You know what God says? Because God's not sentimental. God looks at him and he says, listen, Paul, it is in your weakness that you are actually strong. He doesn't go up to Paul and say, oh, shame, my buddy. You know, it is so sad. It's really, you know, it's, what can I do for you? Can I pray for you? He walks up to him. He says to you, you know what, Paul, I've raised you up for this time and for this time, for this, to serve this generation. I have raised you up. I have placed every good gift. I have empowered you to do this thing. Yes, if you are tired, guess what? You are strong. Because it's when you are tired that you can do all things in Christ. Because it's not working in your own strength. Because you are now depending on Christ's strength. Hallelujah, that we're tired. If we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, all things will be added. All these things will be added unto you. The Word actually comes and gives us as Christians a huge slap in the face. He says, do not be like the Gentiles that seek after these things. What are those things? Worldly treasures. To learn the Word. Pray, friends. If you prepare yourself in a way as what we've just mentioned before this, guess what? If you pray, you will hear God. If you do not pray, if you stand here today and you say to me, JJ, I do not hear God, that I'm going to say to you, you need to come to the front. Because if you do not hear God through prayer, there is something wrong. You're not preparing your heart. You're not spending time with the living God. Because the King of Kings says, for this is certain, that my sheep hear my voice. Prayer is a telephone. It's a red telephone towards God. We pray. That is what we do. We pray. Moses prayed. Abraham prayed. All the prophets prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus prepared himself. Jesus, when he did something,
He pulled himself away from the crowds and he went to into a quiet place where he spent time with the Father. And in those times, he became refreshed. And then he got a download, what they say. Then he got knowledge and revelation and wisdom on where next to go to, who to pray for, what to do, how to speak. Are we doing it? Jesus was tired. Jesus was tired. In Hebrews, it says this. Listen to this. If we say, yeah, but he was God. I agree, he was God. But listen to this. Seeing that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast on to our confession. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus went through exactly the same as what you and me go through. But he persevered. And he encourages you that he's giving you the same perseverance. He gives you that. He sympathizes with you and with me. And he says, I've given you all things. Trust me, because it's in your weakness that you are strong. Friends, prayer is important. This is how we prepare ourselves to come before the throne. Then we need to start worshiping and we need to start praising him. We need to start rebuilding the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David is a tabernacle of worship. Are you preparing yourself when you go into a cell or when you go wherever you are in your car? Are you worshiping him? Are you praising him? Are you giving him thanks? Or are you just keeping quiet? Because God forbid that we keep quiet. Because then the stones will sing out his mercy and his grace and his bigness and his greatness. This is how we prepare as a church. We worship him and we praise him and we give thanks to him for what he has done for us. And when we do all those things, oh, this sounds like a real Old Testament legalistic preach, JJ. No, it's not. It's not. These things need to come because Christ dwells within you, Helmut. These aren't little boxes that we just tick off. It's because of the love of God in us. It's because we want to do it. Because he's good to us. And we want to be in right standing with him. We want to worship him and we want to tell him who he is. It's not another box that you tick. It's in us. It's part of us. And when we do these things, then we come with an expectancy. Then we come before him and we say, Father, now that we have prepared, we stand before you. Now you be God. And whatever you decide and whatever you say, we will do. Whatever you give, we will receive. And we will make a great and thankful sound. And we will worship you in this, God. Once we've done this, we need to come before him and we need to know this. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he is a rewarder of those who diligently prepare themselves. That when they stand in his presence, you know who he is. Friends, let's stand. Let us stand. Let us close our eyes and let's prepare our hearts now. You prepare your heart before God and you say, Father, you forgive me for my sin. We say, Father, forgive us, Lord, that we have lost the fear
and the awe and the reverence of who you are. God, that we treat you as a common thing. Father, that we can confess with our lips, but yet you are so far from our hearts. Father, this morning, do we stand before you? And we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for Christ. We want to say thank you that your Spirit dwells richly within us. That we can call you Abba. Father, that as we prepare ourselves to come boldly into your throne room now, we tell our minds, we tell our emotions, and we tell our wills to keep quiet, to settle down. Every obstacle, every mountain, every worry we speak to now in the name of Jesus, you be quiet in the presence of the King. Every thought that is not of God, everything that opposes God now, in the name of Jesus, do we say to you, be quiet. For you are under the feet of the Most High. Father, we stand before you with open hands. We stand before you now, Lord. We say thank you that we can enter boldly. For we declare that you are God. We declare that you are the King of Kings and that you are the Lord of Lords. And we say to you now, Father, that our spirit and our soul, our body belongs to you now. Our gaze and our focus and our ears are inclined unto you. We look at you. How we come to worship you now. We come to give you praise and we come to give you honor. We come to give you thanks. May your name be high and lifted up. May you receive the glory and the honor that is due unto your beautiful name. Where you are, in preparation before we go into the courts of the King, I want us to just to sing in a tongue. Not loud, but also not too soft that no one can hear. Let us just prepare ourselves for this time of worship. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 if we can just ask you guys, just the musos, just to keep quiet there for me. Friends, if we can just sing, I want us to hear the beat of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's voice.
Let's just raise up our voices.
Yes, Geraba serea sendea so Geraba sandoro ya sirere Yereaba so huro ya nerabo Yeserea sondoro ya basire Gire basendera basoro yasirere Giserere asondoro ba Gia sendera basiro Gehele amasondo kiendera busoro Gindera basiroro Gisendera basir totoro basie sie.
Let's lift up our voice, church.
Gendera basendera si. Yesaru toro yesendera baso. Gendera sendera baso. Gisera basi sororo ya bie.
Friends, now we start worshiping. Now you start worshiping Him. Father, I love you. And you give Him worship out of your heart. You declare now who He is.